Good morning, Santa Fe. Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can listen to the show whenever you want to, including the archived shows, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Later on in the program, Robert Knott will be with us speaking of the arts, and in just a moment, Alex Harris will be with us, a great photographer who is joining us in the cafe. But before we do that, I would like to let people know that today is day 6 of the KSFR Fun Drive. We are more than past our halfway point, and we would like to finish the Fun Drive as soon as we possibly can. And that means everybody who's listening right now calling in to 428-1393, 428-1393, and making your contribution. And I've been thinking about what it means to make a contribution. I've been thinking about all the little transactions that happen in our daily lives. For example, when you're walking down the street and you just smile at somebody, or somebody smiles at you and you smile back, and there's an energy transaction that happens, and something good comes out of that. And you bring that into the rest of your day, and that multiplies. The same thing happens when some act of negativity happens, and that multiplies. This radio station, KSFR, is a whole other kind of energy. It's the energy, for example, that I put into my show every day is something that I am putting out to you, the community. It's more than a smile. It's a whole lot of things. It's a lot of ideas. It's a lot of emotions. We put that out for the community to listen to. We don't expect anything in return except during these couple of weeks out of the year in which we ask you to look inside yourselves and say, what is this doing for me? What is the energy that this show, that this station awakens inside of me? And then to open your hearts and to open your wallets and give according to what the truth is of that transaction that's going on for each of us every day. We had a wonderful regular contributor come into the station and into the cafe today and hand me a check, and it's a wonderful thing when that happens. It's a wonderful thing when you call 428-1393, or if you're out of area, 866-907-5737, 907-KSFR. Dal Dearman is joining us from the control room. How are things going today?
Hey, we're having a very good morning so far, Mary Charlotte. I'm thrilled to report we had a $1,000 match during Democracy Now! This morning at between 6 and 7:30. And
you made it.
Handily made that. And we have another. I'd like to announce right now we have another on your show, a $1,000 matching challenge between now and 9 o'clock. So every dollar that we receive, every pledge we receive is doubled during the Radio Cafe today.
We're going to be giving away copies of this book that I have in my hand right now called The Idea of Cuba by Alex Harris. It's a book of photographs and a couple of very interesting essays. And for a $100 pledge, you can get a copy of this book. We have only 5 of them. So the first 5 people to pledge $100 and ask for the book will get a copy of this book, which is very interesting and both readable and what's it called? Lookable? Watchable?
It's very lookable.
over and over.
And of course, you've been to Cuba several times.
Indeed, I have. And therefore, there's a tremendous familiarity to me of these pictures. But for people who haven't been there, there's a sense of exploration of a world that is both very different from our own and yet very familiar in terms of just the human emotion expressed in these pictures. And we're going to be talking to Alex Harris about that in just a moment. 428-1393 is the number. So the first 5 people who pledge $100 or more will get a copy of this book. That'll put us halfway to our $1,000 challenge. And then the next 5 who pledge $100 or any amount to bring us up to that $1,000 challenge will get the satisfaction of pledging to KSFR, which is the main reason to pledge. It's simply to keep this radio on the air. There are also gifts that you can ask your wonderful phone volunteer for. We've got some great volunteers today, as we do every day during the pledge drive. The generosity that comes out of people during this time is absolutely extraordinary. Please express your generosity in whatever amount you can. It's not about how much. It's about the act. It's simply about stepping forward and taking that action of giving, of expressing your gratitude for what this station gives you, as we express our gratitude every day for simply being on this planet and for being able to be part of this radio station, KSFR.
I'll come back and let you know how we're doing during the hour.
Excellent. 428-1393. or 866-907-KSFR. That's 907-5737 with the 866 toll-free area code. I'd like now to welcome Alex Harris. He's a photographer, and he's the author of this wonderful book, The Idea of Cuba. Welcome to the Santa Fe Baking Company and to KSFR.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte. It's great to be here.
Let's talk about, at the beginning, this question of the idea of Cuba, as opposed to what? As opposed to the reality of Cuba?
You know, photography deals with the surface of things. And I'm struck by the fact that I couldn't have made these pictures as a young photographer. I couldn't have even thought that a photograph could encompass something as complicated as an idea, particularly the idea of the great Cuban patriot, José Martí, his idea of Cuba. And for many years, I photographed in New Mexico. I photographed in Eskimo villages in Alaska. And my pictures were very much about my day-to-day experiences in those places. Maybe as much an excuse to live in those places and be with those people as they were an excuse to make pictures. In Cuba, I really was attempting something different. I went to Cuba in 1998 with a particular idea in mind that I would take photographs that would somehow evoke the relationship between the United States and Cuba. And I did it in a way that I had tried earlier in New Mexico, but it had a different twist in Cuba. I would, in Havana, look at the 1950s and early 60s American cars and photograph the landscape of Cuba, the landscape of Havana, through these cars, taking pictures that really had the American frame on Cuba. And in doing that, I was trying to just evoke the way our countries are tied together, the way, in fact, that Cubans every day not only see their country through this American frame, but I would argue really feel the impact of their neighbor to the north.
Well, I was wondering if you did it as a way of being honest about your own American frame, since you're an American.
I don't know that at the time I was being honest, but it was a good place for me to start because I didn't know much about Cuba. I was comfortable with these cars. They were the cars of my childhood. And I thought, this is something that I can accomplish as a photographer. You know, it's a kind of a narrow idea, but if I look at Cuba really deeply through this frame, through this American frame, maybe I'll say something that's more than I know. Maybe I'll say something about Cuba that will be surprising even for Cubans themselves.
When you were in Cuba, or indeed in the United States, have you had much contact with Cuban artists, Cuban photographers, Cuban filmmakers to see what the Cuban perspective is on its own, on their own country, versus an American outsider's perspective?
You know, after making these pictures, I've learned so much more about Cuba and Cuban art and Cuban photography. But frankly, I think part of what makes this book compelling, if it is the fact that, as you're indicating, I really come to this book as an American discovering Cuba in a way, and hopefully describing Cuba in a way that rings true for Cubans themselves, but that will bring an American audience to understand a little bit more about this island that I think has been a big part of our history, and I would argue is going to be a part of our history in the future.
One thing that is striking about the book is not only what's in it, but what is absent when you compare it to our own culture. There's no strip malls, there's no billboards, there's no advertising, there's no consumerism. There's something else present in that very absence.
I think that's right. I mean, what's sold in Cuba really is a revolutionary idea, and you see it in billboards, you see it particularly, I think, in the statues all around the island of José Martí. But it's a photographer's dream because, as you say, it's a beautiful, in a way, uncluttered country where everything is close to the surface. Emotion is close to the surface. The way the country has aged is close to the surface. And it's a great place to be a photographer.
We're talking to Alex Harris. His book is called The Idea of Cuba, and it is available to you, beloved listeners, for a contribution of $100 to KSFR 428-1393. I'm going to say it slowly because people say I talk too fast. 428-1393, 428-1393, or toll-free 866-907-5737. That's 907-KSFR. You were a student at Yale and a photography student of the great documentary photographer Walker Evans, who also himself photographed in Cuba, and you include some of those photographs in the essay in your book.
That's right. That's right. You know, I can't claim to have learned a huge amount from Walker Evans in class, and in fact, Evans wouldn't claim to be able to teach anything. What he said to his students was, when you're young, you don't want your work to be influenced by museums. You really want... You want your work to spring from what he called the life of the streets. You want to get out in the real world and have your work be influenced by your own experiences and what you see and feel. And one thing that strikes me about Evans is that he was a collector. He was an odd sort of a collector. He would pick up scraps of paper like cigar wrappers or pop tops in the early days of pop tops. And you'd see them all over his house, and then one day you'd show up and they'd be arranged in this kind of extraordinary collage. And I think photography for me is something like that. You go out and you collect things instinctively. You see things, you don't quite know why you take them, and later you put them together, you edit them, you make sense of them, hopefully into a collage that's meaningful to you and to other people as well.
So how does that work? I mean, it seems, at least on the surface, that photography, when you're out on the streets, when you're doing something... Like, I think you could say that your work is at least partly documentary photography, really trying to make a document of this particular time and these people in Cuba now. Is there a collage element of that?
There is. I think as a still photographer, and it's a medium that's really been ideal for me, you can go out really... and work in a kind of an act of exploration. You don't have to know, for instance, the way that a filmmaker might know, or a radio person like yourself might know, kind of the direction that your work is going to take. So it allowed me in Cuba, for instance, to be inside these cars and to begin to notice things on the street that I wanted to come back and photograph. I didn't have a plan to do that, but when I saw these things, one in particular, these statues of a man I'd never heard of before. He wasn't Che, he wasn't Fidel. I discovered his name was Jose Marti. His statues were everywhere. Being a still photographer allowed me to come back and make photographs of Cuba in relation to this man, Jose Marti, not something that I'd planned. And it became a kind of a collage that I put together. Frankly, it took me 2 or 3 years to put this book together after I made my last photograph.
Tell us more about Jose Marti and about his idea, as you put in the title of the book, idea of Cuba, and about your relationship to that idea.
You know, we really don't have a comparable figure in America for Jose Marti. I mean, imagine a national hero who's a blend of Abraham Lincoln and Martin Luther King with the authority of Moses and then throw in a dash of Walt Whitman. You begin to have a sense of Jose Marti for Cubans.
Now, hang on. That's a collage right there. That's a lot of personalities to put together.
Well, Marti was an extraordinary figure. He was the first modernist poet. He was the leader who never made it to the promised land. He was kicked out of Cuba at the age of 16 by the Spanish for sedition. Lived most of his life in exile, and ironically, he lived the majority of that time in the United States. And he knew the U.S. really well, and he wrote about the United States from a Latin American perspective for audiences all over Latin America. But he also wrote about what he hoped Cuba and what he thought Cuba should be. And it's Marti's ideas of Cuba that have been espoused by every Republican government in the 20th, now 21st century. He said Cuba should be under the yoke of no other nation. Cuban people should be educated. There should be freedom of press, freedom of expression. He said Cubans should be willing to sacrifice for their nation and for their family, and above all, there should be unity. Those were the core ideas, and they're ideas that are inscribed in bronze under most of his statues all over Cuba. And as I went around Cuba to make pictures in relation to Marti, I would write down Martí's sayings, his aphorisms, that most Cubans know and have memorized. And I would make pictures with those aphorisms ringing in my ears.
And so, really, those are some of the ideas that informed your photography. It's so interesting to think about that for those of us who are not photographers, that going around with an idea, a concept, a philosophy in your head would really influence the content and the look of the pictures that you're taking.
Well, so much was ironic in relation to Martí's sayings. I mean, you know, first of all, Martí never believed in socialism. In fact, he wrote a famous essay in which he said, you know, if socialism comes, people will be slaves of the state. But, you know, when he talks about freedom, an educated people will never be enslaved, well, that rings true because you see the extraordinary education system that's taken Cubans out of illiteracy and to a high degree of education. But many of his other sayings, you know, to join forces is the order of the day, with all and for the good of all. You look around Cuba and you don't see, say, the unity that he espoused. You don't. I wondered sometimes, and my pictures speak to this, whether there's the kind of racial harmony that's claimed by the Cuban administration, but that Martí really believed in.
And those, you know, the answers to those questions just lead really to more questions, I would think, for a photographer or an observer of Cuban life, because there's so many perspectives on the questions that you're raising. I mean, Cuban society looks like a racial paradise for those used to living in big American cities.
I think that's right. And one of the things that, again, that draws me to photography and still photography in particular is that different people see different things in the photographs. And Cubans who live on the islands will see one thing. Cuban expatriates will see another. And I hope people who know almost nothing about Cuba will see something else, but we'll all be informed in some way about these people that really, I think, we've seen in such a narrow way in this country for so many years because of our own government's propaganda, for lack of a better word.
We're talking to Alex Harris. His book is called The Idea of Cuba. We have 5 and only 5 copies of this book.
No, we don't.
They're all gone?
No, we have one left.
We have one left.
One left.
To the next lucky listener who makes a contribution of $100 to KSFR 428-1393, you get the last copy of the book. It's published by University of New Mexico Press. For those of you who would like a copy of the book and you miss out on your chance today, you can still make a contribution to KSFR and buy the book yourself. You do the math and it still works out for you.
That's clever.
428-1393. Well, I think it was Sean Conlon who said, isn't it funny that sometimes our listeners would rather make a $100 contribution for a $25 book than make a $50 contribution and get nothing?
Well, it's part of the fun of the fun drive.
We put the fun back in fun drive.
Can I thank some people real quick?
Yes, you may.
I want to say thank you to Marianne Folks.
Thank you.
Carol Lopez. Carol, thanks a lot. And Claude Combisser, an attorney in town. Charles Titchener.
Thank you, Charles.
Thank you, Charles. And Sherry Land. Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you, Sherry. All of these folks. In fact, Sherry was the one who came and very kindly handed me the check this morning. Sherry's great.
Just to remind you, too, that we have a $1,000 challenge match this hour. Between now and 9 o'clock, if we get to $1,000, we get another $1,000, that much closer to our $100,000 goal. So remember, now is the time to dial 428-1393.
428-1393 is the number. And we return to Alex Harris, author of this marvelous book, of which there is only one copy left, The Idea of Cuba.
I just want to make it clear that there's only one copy left here, but there are a few kicking around in bookstores.
That's right. There, in fact, it's probably available in bookstores right here in Santa Fe.
That's right, it is.
So there are many copies published by the University of New Mexico Press, which I have to say does a marvelous job of publishing all sorts of themes, not just, you know, related to things that are not just New Mexican themes, but, for example, this book of photographs of Cuba. one of the things that you talk about in your essay and that becomes a theme in your photographs is the position of women in Cuban society. And one of the things that you mention about José Martí is that there was quite a lot of sexism in his work. He felt that women should be mothers and men should be gentlemen, that women should be servants of men and so on. What do you see in when you look at Cuban society in terms of the role of women?
What I see, I think, is similar in many ways to the role of women in countries around the world. But I think in Cuba, particularly in revolutionary Cuba, women have had a kind of a triple burden. They've been expected to take on jobs, to be out of the home. Traditionally, Cuban women were responsible primarily for the home. They've been expected to take on volunteer work in all different sorts of neighborhood and communist and socialist organizations, but primarily women are responsible for the well-being of their families and their homes. And this takes on an added meaning and poignancy when you realize that when the Soviets pulled out in the late 80s, the Cuban economy took a kind of a dive that I think it makes our Great Depression look like a cakewalk. The average caloric intake for a Cuban family went down by something like 30%. People were desperate to make a living, and prostitution, which had not existed for 30 years, I mean, Castro made the elimination of prostitution one of the key parts of his early revolution in 59. By 61, it was gone. Prostitution that hadn't existed for 30 years came back. And
some of your photographs are of these Cuban jineteras, which is it's not the same thing as American prostitute. It's a whole different phenomenon there. But nevertheless, these are some of the women that you make photographs of.
That's right. And I'm glad you say that, because if you notice in the book, never do I have a caption of a photograph that says prostitute.
Right.
I mean, these women, when I would talk with them, they would describe themselves as they were teachers, they were students, they were dancers, they were many things. And they were also looking for a novio or a boyfriend to get them some money, to get them access to some of the things that otherwise they and their families, and even in some cases their children, wouldn't have access to.
And so it wasn't sort of I make a living as a prostitute. It was like I do what I can, and this is a little income supplement that's maybe fun or maybe not so much fun.
It's hard to say, and I don't pretend to know what's going on in the minds and hearts of these women, but I do know that I tried to photograph them as human beings and not as people who represent a particular profession.
We're talking to Alex Harris, and the time is 8:30. It's just about time to go. The book is called The Idea of Cuba. It has an essay by Alex Harris at some length. It also has an essay by Lilian Guerra, who's a Cuban-American who grew up in Kansas and returned to Cuba trying to find her Cubanidad, Cuban identity.
That's right. That's right. And Lilian is one of the people who really helped me when I came back from Cuba with photographs that were just so rich in detail, but some of the details I hadn't quite been able to put together. And Lilian and others helped me as part of this 2 or 3 year process to make sense of my work and to be able to both write about Cuba, but also to try to edit the pictures in a way that I think most effective.
Alex Harris, thank you so much for being with us here on KSFR.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I'll be in Taos today at Moby Dickens Bookstore between 2 and 4 p.m., and I'll be talking some more about my photographs. And then on Saturday, I'll be at Ver Fine Arts here in Santa Fe between 2 and 4 as well, and I'll be speaking.
Saturday tomorrow.
That's right, Saturday tomorrow.
Excellent. So Saturday here at Verve between 2 and 4. And if our new signal, 101.1 FM, is reaching all the way up to Taos, which it should be, you can go to Moby Dick today.
Moby Dickens, yeah.
Moby Dickens.
Yes.
Today
between 2 and 4.
Between 2 and 4. Alex Harris, once again, thank you so much.
You know, I just wanted to say one other thing while I'm on here, is that I've listened to these public radio fund drives for so many years, and it's great to be here and actually be talking during one of the drives. I think if José Martí exemplifies what it means to be Cuban, then at least in part, public radio is just such a big part of what it means to be American, and I'm really glad to be here for this drive.
Thank you so much for saying that. I think maybe we are perhaps one of the better lights shining in this country, the public radio. And maybe if José Martí were here himself, he would be a supporter of KSFR.
No doubt about it.
Alex Harris, once again, thank you.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
428-1393 is the number for the KSFR pledge drive, 428-1393. If every single person who is here right now, who's listening right now, would call, we would end our pledge drive by the end of Robert Knott's show. Robert Knott is walking toward us here in the cafe. He's going to be sitting down in just a moment. We're going to hear a break right now. We're going to hear from some of our beloved underwriters. Stay tuned to KSFR, and perhaps during this break, call 428-1393 or 1-866-907-5737. 866-907-KSFR. We'll be right back.
Here in the pledge room, it's active, but not as active as it needs to be. We have that $1,000 challenge going between now and 9 o'clock. We need $1,000 in calls from all of you in exchange for a $1,000 match from one of our listeners. Carlene Carey, thank you so much. Carlene is the high school teacher of seniors only in government and economics who received as a thank you gift this morning those two tickets to Al Gore's presentation in Albuquerque next week. She's shown the Gore movie in class. The kids loved it. They're writing essays and becoming active. Carlene is a real fired-up teacher. We want to say thanks, and I'm glad you have them. 428-1393. Call now.
KSFR programming is underwritten in part by Locals Care. Locals Care community cards reward you for shopping and dining at over 100 locally owned businesses. You can support a Santa Fe nonprofit and earn rewards for yourself at any Locals Care business. Find program information and a current list of participating businesses and nonprofits at locals-care.com. Offered in cooperation with the Santa Fe Alliance and sponsored by Los Alamos National Bank, the New Mexican, and the City of Santa Fe.
KSFR programming is underwritten in part by Garcia Street Books and their owners Eva and Edward Borens, celebrating more than 30 years as booksellers. Located at 376 Garcia Street, where adventurer Peter Heller will celebrate the publication of his newest book, The Whale Warriors, The Battle at the Bottom of the World to Save the Planet's Largest Mammals, on Monday, October 1st at 5 p.m. More information at 986-0151 or garciastreetbooks.com.
World-famous experimental filmmaker Barbara Hammer will screen her film Lover Other, the story of Claude Cahun and Marcel Moore, followed by an artist's lecture on October 1st in Tipton Hall at 6 p.m. Barbara will host an artist's workshop October 2nd through the 5th at Santa Fe Art Institute. For more info on this and the many other SFAI programs, call 424-5050 or visit sfai.org. This message sponsored by the Santa Fe Art Institute, a tax-exempt organization.
And I would like now to welcome Robert Knott. He's the associate editor of the Positempo Friday Art Supplement in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. He is flipping pages, which you can probably hear out there in Radio Land. And he's here with us just about every Friday speaking of the arts. Welcome, Robert.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm versitudious.
Yes. Neologisms spring from your lips every day.
Well, thanks.
Did you know that we're in the KSFR pledge drive right now?
I was riding in my Jeep, and I was on my way over here, and I heard you asking for money. So I'm well aware of what antics you're up to.
We're up to antics, and we want to know right now how things are going in the control room. Do we have a report from the other side?
Yes, Mary Charlotte, here's the report.
Guess not. 428-1393 is the number. Now, I just would like to say, before we get into the calendar right now, is I have a lot of people who say, I love your program with Robert Knott. You guys are so funny together. Do you get that, Robert?
No, people tell me that I'm one of the most serious people around, that there's an air of tragedy to everything I say, and that I was born to play Hamlet.
428-1393 is the number. Now, if you think that Robert Knott was born to play Hamlet, make your opinion on that subject known. I think that should be what we do this half hour.
Wait a minute.
Robert Knott born to play Hamlet or
now
not? Make your contribution and take your vote on this particular subject, 428-1393.
Now that I reread the recent email, it says I was born to play Omelet. I got it all mixed up. Anyway, I'm a good egg. Hermits are playing.
Ouch.
October 3rd at Camel Rock. I just got to mention that. It's not too expensive to get in at 8 o'clock at Camel Rock Wednesday. Remember Hermits?
Oh, I'm Henry the Eighth. I am. That Hermits?
Yeah, but I like better, Mrs. Brown, you've got a lovely daughter. That's a great song. I could listen to that all day
long.
It's
because it has a girl in it.
Yes, it does have a girl in it. You're right. The Wild Film Festival.
Yes.
Wild Film Festival of 12 movies playing at the Lensic
tonight and tomorrow, starting at 7 p.m. I saw most of them, and I can really recommend this.
One of them is Losing the Elephants, which we talked about on this show a couple of days ago.
It's one of the only ones I didn't see. I didn't get a screener of it, oddly enough. But they have a couple of really fine feature pictures, Shark Water and Edge of Eden, which is about grizzlies, and both of them show animals, creatures that we often associate with attacks on humans. Shark Water's about sharks, Edge of Eden about grizzlies, in a really sympathetic light. It shows what they're going through. It shows efforts to save them, why they're important, and it's good stuff. There might be some stuff in there that makes you cry, but it's really good movies. And some really delightful shorts. The one about the guy that calls the exterminator to get rid of the flies in his bar, and he brings frogs, and then the frogs get drunk. That one's terrific. Anyway, at the Lenzic tonight, call 988-1234, the Wild Film Festival, two nights in a row. I didn't get to see much of the gay and lesbian film festival screeners this year. They didn't send me the stuff they usually send, so I only mentioned it briefly in my film comp today. But that runs mostly in Albuquerque, but there are some Santa Fe screenings this week at the Vargas Mall. And the best thing to do is go to www.closetcinema.org to see a list of pictures that are showing at the Vargas over the weekend.
Excellent.
Theater-wise, A Fabulous Time at the Theater reprises this weekend. It took a week off. Three one-act comedies by Ron Bloomberg with vocal singing by Chris Calloway in between. Santa Fe Playhouse.
Vocal singing, that's interesting.
Well, yeah, it's almost the same as tune-filled warbling. Anyway, call 988-4262. My review of the show is in today's Pasta Tiempo. And we have this great comings and goings calendar put together by Rob DeWalt, who will fill in for me, I think, when I disappear for a couple of weeks in late October, by the way, here on the show. And it's a really great place to go to find out just about everything that's happening art-wise in the city. And that includes things like Bugs Henderson and the Shuffle Kings. Sometimes they have a title of a band on it just because of the title. It's like a movie, you know, like Zombie Attack. I would go see that in a minute. But anyway, Bugs and the Shuffle Kings are playing at 7:30 p.m. tonight at the Santa Fe Brewing Company. Call 988-1234. And also tonight, at gig, get this. Jonathan Richards, he's a real character around town. You might know him. Always up to some sort of shenanigans. Bruce Dunlap, who's a pretty mean guitarist. And Alan Arkin, the actor, the writer, the good human being. They're doing poetry readings. Dunlap's going to be on the guitar, and Arkin and Richards are going to do poetry at 7:30 tonight at gig. That's at 1808 2nd Street, Suite H. As in hijinks. You got to pay to get in. You can't call in advance. You got to show up. People say show up 20 minutes early because gig has like 42 chairs. So if you want to go see this once in a weekend event, it's tonight at gig.
Excellent.
Meanwhile, one thing that you might want to know about is Dana Goldberg, the comedian, is going to be performing at 8:30 p.m. down at the Silver Starlight Lounge at Rainbow Vision on Saturday. It's going to benefit Emerald City Foundation, which is a nonprofit that provides financial assistance to seniors in the gay and lesbian community. Rebecca Adams and the Jazzbians also perform. I love that. I have no idea who they are, but I like the title. You got to pay to get in. Here's the phone number, 427-7781. For those who are classically inclined, I'm kind of classically reclined. You put that stuff on, I fall asleep. Anyway, the Miro Quartet, it's a chamber music ensemble. That means there's a group of them. Chamber usually means that they're playing inside a little sort of tin work place or something. I know a lot about this stuff. I did some reading.
I'm not saying nothing.
You ain't. John Zorn teams up with Beethoven Dvorak.
Dvorak.
That guy, too. That's the kind of music they'll be playing at 8 o'clock Saturday in the Great Hall of Peterson Student Center in St. John's College up on Camino Cruz Blanca. Got to pay to get in. 984-6104. Pasta Tiempo writer Craig Smith has a Critical Ear column today, which covers the classical musical beat, and he writes about this.
Hey, 428-1393 is the number for the fundraiser. Those of you who love to listen to Robert Knott, well, if you want to have Robert Knott on the air in the years and decades to come, make a contribution now, 428-1393.
What if people want me off the air and they offer donations?
If people want you off the air, they can still donate, but I am the ultimate decision. I am the decider on that particular subject.
What if the board members of KSFR see all the money coming in and they start getting, what do you want to call it, retroactive? They decide they want me off the air.
I don't think that's going to happen, Robert. Everybody loves you, except for a few people who just think that you're not funny. And they make themselves heard, but it's the slim, tiny minority. It's sort of like the, you know, the third party in the political system.
Oh, we don't hear much about them, do we?
Not a whole lot.
We always do, though. They're always kind of interesting. Every now and then, Mary Charlotte, you sort of evaporate me when you try to encourage me to write about animal stuff. The Kindred Spirits Animal Sanctuary fundraiser and fall open house, something
Yay!
That you would normally say, takes place 10 to 5 on Saturday. It's a benefit for this animal sanctuary, and there's refreshments and animals that you get to meet and greet. They're on New Mexico 14 down south heading towards Madrid, 3749A, as an animal, New Mexico 14 to be specific. Here's a phone number, 471-5366. You can get in by donation. So go and consider seeing this. And I think the animal shelter is trying to give away kitty cats.
Yes, it has been Cat Week. I think Cat Week may still be going on. Hey, guess what? Experimental filmmaker Barbara Hammer will be speaking in a lecture on Monday night at the Santa Fe Art Institute, Tipton Hall, which is next door to the Santa Fe Art Institute. It's at 6 o'clock, and there's a workshop from Tuesday through Friday, October 2nd through 5th. And the number over there is 424-5050. She's part of the avant-garde film community for many, many years, lots of groundbreaking films. Let's see.
And they're going to screen one of them that night.
Yeah, Lover Other is going to be screened.
Oh, boy.
That's her 2006 film.
That's pretty cool.
424-5050 is the Santa Fe Art Institute.
You got a few more weeks to catch some of these outdoor art shows like Art in the Park, which is the Santa Fe Council for the Arts. They put together some outdoor arts and crafts people, 10 to 5 on Saturday, and I think as well on Sunday. And they are where? They are at the Cathedral Park downtown. There's no charge to get in. Also, the Santa Fe Society of Artists Outdoor Jury Art Show is Sunday, 10 to 5:30. In the Santa Fe County Government parking lot next to the El Dorado Hotel, of all places.
Hey, no. You two. Can I give you a quick update?
Who's this?
Dal.
Hi, Dal.
Hello, Mary Charlotte. Hello, Robert.
Hi, Dal. How are you?
I'm just fine. I'm getting
beautiful
finer.
Dal. You great, big, beautiful Dal.
He is fine. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, as far as the our challenge match this hour, we are at $675, so we need to get the balance up there by 9 o'clock. We need to make $1,000 by 9 o'clock in order to get the other $1,000.
That would be $325 that we need in the next 15 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. 4281393.
I was hoping one of you could subtract that, but I couldn't figure it out.
Do that very difficult arithmetic.
That's
problem.
Very simple. 10 people need to give you $32, and one person needs to give you $5.
So
the person that needs to give $5, call right now and beat those other people out so you can pay less.
You're a prodigy.
Well, not just that, but I got a lot of, antithesis to me.
He's the prodigal prodigy.
Mm-hmm. I've also got a new number for the fund drive total so far.
Yes.
We are right at $60,000 on our way to 100.
That's incredible. So if somebody wants to make a $40,000 contribution right now, 4281393 is the number. Any amount from $10 on up is just wonderful. As always, we ask you to give within your means, but we ask you to give to the KSFR Fund Drive. 428-1393 is the number. Robert Knott.
Yes.
You're so fine.
What happened? He's so fine. Doo-wop, doo-wop. Yes, he will sing unless you give money. Mary Jean Straw Cook is going to discuss and sign copies of her new book, Doña Tules, Santa Fe's Courtesan and Gambler. 1:30 p.m. on Sunday. This is free. It's at the Museum of Spanish Colonial Art up on Camino Lejo. There's a story in today's Pase de Tiempo written by moi. That means me, for those of you that don't know Russian. And it's an interesting book. Do you know who Doña Tules was?
I'm going to be interviewing the author, and I haven't read the book yet.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, she was sort of a naughty lady that had a lot of property and a lot of guts back in the 1840s and 50s here in Santa Fe.
What do you mean by naughty?
Well, let's just say that she was a woman who knew what it was that she wanted, and usually she got it. Whether it came to gambling, or it came to property, or it came to
Well, you could say
men.
That of me. I'm not naughty.
Yeah, but I'm talking about specifically, she sort of had a thing for the guys, you know? So that's all. I'm not suggesting any innuendo. I'm just, don't want to cast no aspirations on nobody.
Don't want to cast no asparagus on nobody.
That either. I'm no vegetarian. Ancient Bronxes of the Grasslands. Who wore them and why? This is a lecture by Trudy S. Kawami. She's the Arthur Sackler Foundation Research Director, and she's doing this lecture at 2 p.m. on Sunday at St. Francis Auditorium, which is in the New Mexico Museum of Art downtown on Palace Avenue. It's free. It's in conjunction with the exhibit that opens this weekend called Bronxes of the Asian Grasslands. Elizabeth Cook Romero, Pasa Tiempo staff writer, wrote a really good piece on this in today's Pasa, talking about how these Eurasian horse cultures, they used to, when they buried the people, they would, like, bury them with these little Bronx things that meant something. So somebody dug them all up. So there's like 85 artifacts. It's a really interesting show. Probably be a good lecture. And that's sort of unfortunately opposite the Mary Jean Straw Cook. So if you're into prostitutes and gambling, go see Mary Jean. And if you want more erudite sort of, what do you call it, edification, go down there to the Ancient Princes of the Grasslands.
A benefit for farm to table. I got an issue. I got an email from Slow Food Santa Fe. They're having a benefit for the group Farm to Table on Thursday, the 4th of October at Sunrise Springs Blue Heron Restaurant. It's natural, organic, and local. And you can make reservations and find out more about it by calling 473-1004, 473-1004.
Meanwhile, Open Poetry Night is Monday night at PD Bean on Cirrus Road, 7 o'clock. You get 3 minutes. Get out there and do your shtick. That's the same night that Peter Heller, the author of the book The Whale Warriors, you heard a commercial on KSFR earlier for this.
It's not a commercial. We're non-commercial radio.
Well, that was what you call
It was an underwriting announcement.
Okay, it was an advertisement that was underwritten. I underwrite a lot of times, but my editors make me do more. The Whale Warriors, the battle at the bottom of the earth to save the planet's largest mammals at 5 p.m. Monday at Garcia Street Books. The author's going to talk about this book and about his journeys with Paul Walden, I think, who's with the Sea Shepherds, and they're these eco-activists who try to stop illegal whaling. And now, in fact, he's tied up with that shark movie I talked about, illegal shark fishing, and they talk about why. So if you're interested, that's 5 o'clock on Monday at Garcia Street Books. A little later that night at the First Presbyterian Church, Penn New Mexico Collected Works Bookstore and a lot of other authors and activists are teaming up to write, to read from poems from Guantanamo, the detainees
Guantanamo.
Speak.
Guantanamo.
That's the place. 7 o'clock Monday.
And you know who's reading in that?
No, I don't. It's just all I know is it's authors and activists.
They Moi.
You.
Yes.
Well, how about that? Good for them. They're finally getting the Hoi Polloi Society involved.
Thanks a lot. So it's me, Lucy Lepard, and Linda Durham are three of the people, the three main people reading poems of Guantanamo detainees.
Excellent. I read some of the poems, and it was put together by Mark... I don't have his last name, sorry. He edited the book, and, you know, they had to write often just using pebbles or chalk or something because they weren't even given writing instruments. So if that interests you, once again, 7 o'clock Monday night, First Presbyterian Church, which is on Grand Avenue.
On Grand Avenue.
Downtown.
Downtown Santa Fe.
The Pinon Awards. You know anything about them?
Oh, go ahead and tell us.
Well, the Santa Fe Community Foundation, run by the fabulous Billy Blair. It honors nonprofits who do really good work here in northern New Mexico, and they always pay tribute to them every year with an award ceremony. Usually there's shtick and music, and then the people come up and say a few words.
You just love saying the word shtick.
Well, I'm trying to... it's just a good word. Antics and shtick, as well as hijinks. These are terrific words. So this year, the Santa Fe Farmers Market Institute, the Friends of the Santa Fe Public Library, the Lenzik itself, which is where the award ceremony is being held, Gerard's House, and the Chimayo Youth Conservation Corps are all being honored at 6 o'clock Tuesday at the Lenzik, no charge. But they want you to RSVP, which means...
Respondez, s'il vous plaît, something like that. I don't speak French.
That's what it means?
Yeah, it means respond, if you please.
Huh, how about that? You got to call 988-9715, extension 43.
Hey, the next Coffee with Mayor Koss is Wednesday, October 3rd from 9:15 a.m. until 10:30 a.m. in the City Council Chambers. This coffee will be an open forum. Members of the public are invited to talk to the mayor about any city issue that they want. For more information, you can call Laura Banish at 955-6046. And that's what we really call open government and access to our elected officials.
You know, I was just thinking about that song that female deer sings to Rudolph in that TV show that comes on every December. Remember that song?
Rudolph, are you talking about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
There's always tomorrow for dreams to come true.
How exactly does that relate to Mayor Koss?
I was listening to you talking and my mind wandered. I was looking over there at some woman on the other side and I thought about that deer from...
Ooh.
Dal Dierman is with us on the mic.
Hey, you two. I've got some thank yous here. Steve
Yay.
Robinson. Thank you, Steve. Gianna Freund. Gianna, thank you so much. Henry Schuckman.
Thank you.
Kitty Mulkey.
Thank you.
And the books are gone, by the way.
Yay!
Lynn Marchand. This has got to be her fourth time calling. Lynn, thank you so much for all of your enthusiasm about KSFR. I owe you lunch. Don Perseus. Carla Freeman. Thank you, too.
Thank you.
Henry Schuckman. I mentioned Henry before, but thank you again. And Michael Oza.
Thanks to all of you, and we must have reached our goal by now.
No, but we're very close.
We're very close. 428-1393. Be the person who puts us over that $1,000 mark at 428-1393 or 1-866-907-5737. That's 866-907-KSFR. And we also want to say, and I said this earlier in the week, I'm going to say it again, we want to really send a special call out to first-time contributors, people who've never before contributed to KSFR. Give a call now and see what it feels like to just give a little bit back to this radio station that we hope is giving you something as well. 428-1393.
That's a good deal.
Back at you, Robert Knott.
Thursday night, Olga Kern, the Russian pianist, should be playing Chopin and Liszt and his other guys, Rachmaninoff, Scarlatti. 7:30 p.m. at the Lenzik, 988-1234. If you like that sort of thing, it's a presentation of the Santa Fe Concert Association. That's also the same evening that the Santa Fe Short Story Festival begins. We can talk more about this next week when it really kicks into gear. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, most events are at the James A. Little Theater, New Mexico School for the Deaf, and that starts off Thursday night with a talk about the state of short story writing. And I wrote a couple of pieces about this in today's PASA. I think it's going to be a really fantastic festival. If you like the short story, if you like the written word, if you like hearing literature being read to you, we'll talk more about it next week. Call 988-1234 for information.
And I've got a notice from Women's Health Services. They're having a seminar tomorrow, September 29th, from 8:30 to 1 in the afternoon called Menopause Mythbusters at the Lodge at 750 North St. Francis Drive. It's free admission. If you want more information, call 955-9488.
Tonight, if you want a lecture, John Tabor is going to talk about some main characteristics in Indian philosophy. That's at 8 o'clock at the Great Hall.
What are you looking at me like that for?
Well, I'm frankly bewildered. It's 8 o'clock in the Great Hall, Peterson Student Center. It's free. That's up at St. John's College, again, Camino Cruz Blanca. It's part of the St. John's College Dean's Lecture Series. What do you make of that, main characteristics in Indian philosophy?
What do you mean, what do I make of it?
Well,
they're going to talk about Indian philosophy and some of the basic ideas that are put forth in Indian philosophy, probably about the nature of the soul and all that kind of stuff.
You already got a foot up on me about this. You know more. It's amazing.
I got a foot up on you.
You talked about Alex Harris. You had
now,
him on the
you're
show
a foot. You're a foot taller than me, I think.
Yeah, but mine always goes in my mouth. That makes me a little shorter.
Alex Harris, indeed. He was just on this morning. Has this marvelous book that five people have made donations, and they have their own copies now, or they will very soon.
It's called The Idea of Cuba, uh-huh. And he's doing a little book signing and appearance from 2 to 4 p.m. Saturday at Verve Gallery of Photography, which is on 219 East Marcy Street. It's right sort of catty corner across from the New Mexican, back downtown at 202 East Marcy. Come say hi to us. But the Verve, that's the gig on 2 to 4 on Saturday. Alex Harris, terrific book. And Paul Weideman did an interview with Alex Harris in today's Pasatiempo. Joe King Carrasco, the Tex-Mex rock and roller. He's going to be playing at 7:30 p.m.
Do you mean Joaquin?
Huh?
Go ahead. Did you say Joe King?
Joe King.
Oh, Joe King. Okay, never mind.
Carrasco, yeah, it's 7:30 at the Santa Fe Brewing Company. It's Saturday night.
Sorry.
Doesn't have to be the Lonely Sunday of the Week. Go see the show and see what happens. Música Antigua de Albuquerque is doing Thomas Morley in England's Golden Age. That's from the time of Queen Elizabeth I, you know, the one that looks like, what's her name? What's the actress that plays her? Come on, you know, Kate Blanchett.
Oh, Helen Mirren?
No, Elizabeth. Who played Elizabeth? There's a new movie coming out. The second part, like they're doing Resident Evil, the third part with zombies, and then they're doing Elizabeth Part 2. Is it Kate Winslet or Kate Blanchett?
I have no idea.
I mixed them up. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's the music from that time. It's at 4:30 p.m. Sunday at Christ Lutheran Church on Arroyo Chamiso. Got to pay to get in. Here's a phone number, including a 505 area code, 842-9613.
Hey, the Instituto Cervantes, in partnership with the National Hispanic Cultural Center, is seeking creative writing in Spanish by women for an anthology to be titled Metamorphosis. So the work should reflect experiences of personal, political, or other transformations in one's life communities. The deadline is Friday, the 5th of October. And for more information, you can give a call to the Instituto Cervantes at 505, it's in Albuquerque, I think, 724 4777. And as always, if you've missed anything here on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe, you can just listen to the podcast at santafe.radiocafe.org, and you can listen to the show, which I try to put up on the net on the same day after the show, within a few hours after the show. So, but 724-4777 if you're interested in this Spanish creative writing.
Do you ever put the show on the pod early, before the show?
Yeah, except my time machine's broken, so I haven't been able to do that for a while.
Always some sort of wisecrack. I ask, what time is it?
It is. It's time to go. It's 8:57.
Wow.
We have a half a minute left. Go ahead.
Saturday, Steve Shapiro photos, reception 5 to 7 p.m. Monroe Gallery of Photography downtown. I'm Don Gaspar. Interesting stuff, a little piece on it in PASA today. And if you like cowboy retro stuff, go see Spencer Kimball's Cowboy Camp tonight, 5 to 7 p.m., Artistas de Santa Fe, on Old Santa Fe Trail, even though the entrance is on Alameda, 5 to 7 reception. I got nothing else to say.
Well, that's
a beautiful
perfect
day.
Did we, Dal Dierman?
Yes.
Did we make it? Yes.
Yay.
You guys rock. You wonderful listeners. Keep the phones ringing off the hook. Is there still a hook? Yeah, there's a hook. 428-1393 is the number. Robert Knott.
Yeah.
Dal Dierman. Speak.
Let me.
All right, say a few words.
Thank you to Peter Fessenden. We love you guys, Peter says. Herb Cohen, thank you, Herb. Daphne Banks, thank you, Daphne. Jamie Gagan, not her first pledge by any means. Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you.
Dorothy Stenbert, Dorothy, thanks so much for your contribution this morning. All of you helping us get to that $1,000 this hour. Kelly Reed, Kelly, thanks so much. And
I just
Michael
love
Adza,
hearing
I mentioned.
All these. Go ahead, what?
Michael Adza, I had mentioned before, but thank you again.
It's just wonderful to hear all these names of listeners to KSFR, to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe, and above all, to Robert Knott, Associate
Editor. And they just
editor.
Love you both.
We love you, Robert. You're just wonderful exactly the way you are. Associate Editor of the Pasatiempo Friday Art Supplement in the Santa Fe New Mexican, with us just about every Friday, speaking of the arts. Thank you so much, Robert, just for being you.
You is totally welcome.
And you've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte.
I know your name. I've been on the show for 3 years. A fine thing, she turns around and tells me her name.
I know, but we've got thousands of listeners out there in radio land, and I'm just telling them in case they just tuned in for the first time or made a contribution for the first time. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can listen to the podcast at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Santa Fe's Dotfoil Computer Services. And thanks to Laurel Reynolds for engineering today, for Dal Dierman in the control room, for our wonderful phone volunteers in the phone room. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, Jazz a la Carta. Broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company. The number in the control room once again is 428-1393, 428-1393. And we will see you on Monday. On Monday, we're going to be talking to a marvelous author who's written a book called The World Without Us, Alan Weissman. And it's a book about what the world would be like if there were no human beings. What would happen?
Probably better.
Well, not for you and me. Do you ever think of it that way?
Human beings, we're just, what do you want to call it? We're regular people.
Perhaps aliens. Robert Knott, we love you. 428-1393. We'll see you soon. Ciao.